for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Sex and Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, September the 4th, 2010. Colonel Speed Wilson is the speaker of the evening, teaching on understanding current events.
Just God bless you all for coming. Brother Speed Wilson, Colonel Speed Wilson is going to come tonight and share. Tonight's the New World Order, is that correct?
Yeah, understanding current events.
Understanding current events. Okay, all right. Praise the Lord.
And I'll need somebody to set the projector up. Okay, that's you. All right. I know we've been talking about psychiatrists making jokes off and on, psychiatrists, psychologists. One definition was that a psychologist or a psychiatrist will get you to the point that you can live with your demons. And I had an occasion that we were at headquarters, Marine Corps, evaluating an individual as to what his mental problem was. And the psychiatrist, he was a psychologist, he kept talking about being neurotic and psychotic. And finally I had to ask him, what's the difference between neurotic and psychotic? He said, well, we're all a little neurotic. We daydream. We build castles in the air, but we know the difference. But a psychotic, he actually lives in those castles. And he doesn't know the difference. And then he smiled but says, I can collect rent from both of them. God considers knowledge, and I can only give you knowledge. God considers knowledge very important for his people. Hosea 4:6, which used to be probably right back here, says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. 2 Peter 1:5, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. Pretty important. Proverbs 11:9, through knowledge shall you be delivered, and without knowledge you can be enslaved and destroyed. With knowledge we can be delivered, saved, and knowledge requires some effort, but wisdom always comes from God. And my objective tonight is to give you a little knowledge, give you a little understanding of what's happening, how it is happening, and what we can expect next. And I'm what the popular media would call they call us a lot of things, but mostly I'm one of those conspiracy nuts, I guess you'd call it. And I'd like to read you some other conspiracy nuts. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, in national and international affairs, nothing happens by accident. Well, if it doesn't happen by accident, somebody did some planning. And if that planning is done in secrecy, and it is detrimental to other people, it is a conspiracy. And planning, it implies that there might be even a master plan. And President Abraham Lincoln, that man was really an amazing, some of the things he said. In 1863, the money powers prey upon the nation and times of peace and conspire, there is conspiracy, and conspire against it in times of adversity. They are more despotic than a monarchy and more indolent than an autocracy and more selfish than a bureaucracy. Boy, that's quite a statement. I see in the future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my country. Corporations, there we are, corporations have been enthroned. An age of corruption in high places will follow. And the money powers working upon the prejudices of the people until the wealth is aggregated into a few hands, and the republic is destroyed. President James Garfield and President Kennedy also made similar statements, and they got the same reward that Abraham Lincoln got. Benjamin Disraeli, Prime Minister of Great Britain in 1876, said, "Governments of the present day, 1876, have to deal not merely with other governments, with emperors and kings and ministers, but also with the secret societies, which have everywhere their unscrupulous agents and can at the last moment upset all government plans." Woodrow Wilson, who did great damage to our country, he was the first to ever use democracy in conjunction with our country. It's a republic supposed to be. Woodrow Wilson in 1917 said, "There is a power so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, and so perversive that you better not speak above a whisper when you condemn it." And of course he got us into World War I, and then also gave us the Federal Reserve and the Internal Revenue Service. If we had time, we could get into how we got the Federal Reserve and its collection agency, the IRS. But if we have time, we'll get into that. Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of Britain in 1945, we're coming up to the present day now. He's a lawyer. From the days of Spartacus Weishaupt, and we'll talk about that, Weishaupt got together with the Rothschilds and they founded the secret society or order called the Illuminati. On the first day of May, 1776, if you ever wondered why the communists and all the Satan worshippers honor May Day, that's when they founded the Illuminati. And it's an international cry of an emergency. If you're going down in your airplane, you get on the guard channel and I'll start hollering, "Mayday, mayday, mayday." And you're sinking in a ship and they're sinking our country. And from Germany was Karl Marx, of course, and Trotsky in Russia. And now this is still Winston Churchill writing. Rosa Luxemburg of Germany, Kula Kum of Hungary, and Emma Goldman of the United States. Goldman and Sachs, does that sound familiar? We've had more secretaries of treasury from Goldman Sachs than any other corporation in the whole world, or certainly in the United States. And he says, "This is a worldwide conspiracy." Now, he's a lawyer, and he knows what a conspiracy is. "For the overthrow of civilization and for the creation of a society based on arrested development." We call it sustainable development, which has been aptly called controlled disintegration. And we're going through that phase right now, and have been for quite a few years. "Of enviable malevolence," that's British to me, "and impossible equality." Aren't you hearing all that? We got to spread the wealth around, you know. "From each according to his ability and unto those according to their need." That's the Communist Manifesto. "Has been steadily growing. It played a definite, recognizable role in the tragic French Revolution. It has been the mainspring of every subversive movement during the 19th century, and now, in the 20th century, this band of extraordinary personalities from the underworld of the great cities of Europe and of America have gripped the Russian people by the hair of their head and has become the undisputed master of that enormous empire." He's talking about that. That is just amazing how he had the understanding. Can you imagine what he had to go through in the time of World War II? Alexander Solzhenitsyn, our brother in the Lord Jesus Christ from Russia, says in 1982, "There exists an alliance, at first glance a strange one, a surprising one, but if you think about it, and in fact is one which is well organized and easily recognized. Well, here's the representation of their get-together, if I have it here. And they work together on the whole operation. And here's the coordinator of the whole thing. You might want to remember it, from Germany. There's Henry Kissinger and that good old Arkansas boy, Henry Kissinger. But it hasn't changed. The puppets are still there, and the Muslim communist that's in the White House today, he's still controlled by the same individual who simply represents these underworld people that they were talking about there, that we just read about. And to continue Solzhenitsyn, he says that we can understand this is an alliance between our communist leaders and your capitalist leaders. By the way, the Gorbachev Foundation and its headquarters in Presidio Island in California was established 3 months before he was replaced by Yeltsin in August of 1991. It cost over $300 million to establish that headquarters, and it's still there. Came from the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation. But remember what Churchill said in 1945, they have become practically the undisputed master of that enormous empire. Franklin Delano Roosevelt says, remember, in national and international affairs, nothing happens by accident. J. Edgar Hoover, director of FBI, 1954. The individual person is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous that the person cannot believe it really exists. In 1988, Dr. Sterling Lacey wrote in Valley of Decision a book. He wrote it supporting Pat Robertson as president. Pat and I have been friends for nearly 40 years. And I'll digress just a little bit before he announced that he was going to give it a go for president. We were sitting in our living room in our home in Hot Springs, Virginia. Ruth and DB were out doing something, but Pat said, "Speed, I think the Lord's leading me to run for president." I said, "Pat, you can't be serious." I said, "You've written the book, The New World Order." Goldwater wrote a book very much like it in 1964. It was entitled, Without Apology. And I said, Goldwater was just a routine Episcopalian. And here you are, a Holy Spirit tongue-talking former Baptist, and you think that these Antichrist people are going to put up with you? And I said, besides, if you get elected, they'll kill you. And he said, "Well, Speed, if God can put me there, he can keep me there." So I said, "Okay, Pat, go for it." Well, he did, and they did afterward. And, of course, I traveled around and represented him at quite a places where he didn't have anybody to go, and it was a pleasure doing it because, well, anyhow, after it was all over and the whole bit, he gave us a call. We went out to dinner, and he said, "Speed, I knew your warning, but I didn't think to just out and out lie." I said, "Well, that shows you how naive you are." Well, he found out. By the way, if you want an honest news report, tune into the 700 Club. Listen at least the first 30 minutes. You'll get news there that you'll never get anywhere else. And Lee Webb, who is his prime announcer, he says that the way news is reported is very important, but what is far more important is the news that is not reported. Boy, it was bad in Korea. But Vietnam was just awful. They just out and out lied. Amen. I've watched them, and well, anyway. By the way, there was a Marine Corps captain on with Larry King live about 4 years ago, and the captain had his right leg blown off and his right arm blown off and his right eye was out, and there he sat in his white uniform with the Silver Star and a few others, and he was telling how what happened to him in Vietnam, And Mr. King asked him, he said, well, did you find the news media to be biased in Vietnam? He said, Mr. King, if the news media had been as biased in World War II as it was in Vietnam, you and I would be speaking either German or Japanese right now. They cut him off. Probably wasn't available on the replay later on. And here's what Sterling Lacy said in his book, Valley of Decision. Most American Christians have a hard time believing that other Americans could be so evil as to purposely cause wars, wage wars for political purposes, lose wars purposely, Vietnam and Korea, and the other side, and aid the other side while our fighting men are dying on the battlefield, sinking their own national sovereignty to prepare America to be just another province in a world government. Promote collectivism, that's communism, and amorality in order to prepare America for a new world order. Destroy the family and true faith in God in order to break down the final barriers of opposition. You certainly see that. And purposely undermine the most rewarding economic system and working people and the poor have ever experienced in all the history of mankind. And all just to create the chaos. We're approaching that. The chaos needed to stampede an entire nation into demanding its own slavery. Bible readers and Christians and all other people, that's the end of it, people are surprised that men can be so evil. Ralph Epperson in 1975 wrote an excellent book, The Unseen Hand, and where did I lose it? I lost my unseen hand here. I think we'll just go on, but you get the idea that many people have known that this was going on for quite a while. I think for right now we'll just... thank you very much. No, those have enough. Thank you very much, son. I think we'll just get into the rest of it, because that proves that there is, that it has been observed, it's nothing new, and it's been going on for a very long time. What is the origin of this whole operation? Well, the origin, as far as I can tell, was a Roman Catholic priest by the name of Weissop, who had gone as far as he could go in witchcraft, and he needed three books that only the Rothschilds had. The major writings of Solomon, and the minor works of Solomon, and the Kabbalah. So he found that the Rothschild had it, so they combined, they came together, and they became the Enlightened One, the Illuminati, the Illumined Ones. And as we said earlier, it was founded on the first day of May, 1776. And the Masonic Lodge is involved in this to a great degree, and most of those, Jimmy Carter was a Mason, and he was also a charter member of the Trilateral Commission, and so was Mondale. Someone said, well, how did Fritz and Grits get together? Well, they got together over at the Rockefellers. That's where they met each other. And so they decided that their objectives were clearly to create this one world government, of course, in which they would run it. And they've set forth, and they've done a very, very good job. As far as it's a horrible job, but yes. Now, communism, as you said, Winston Churchill and the others, that the Russia will play a big part in all of this. And I think very clearly we've had communists in our government for quite a while, but the big surge of communists, now this is international communists, in our headquarters, the executive branch, and sometimes even in Congress, started in a big way under Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And he actually recruited communists, and he even referred to Stalin as Uncle Joe, and that he could get along with Uncle Joe all right. Well, really, they were going in the same direction. And By the way, these public works programs do work. The Great Depression was broken by a great big national works program called World War II. So you can come out of the whole thing. Roosevelt had, Joe McCarthy, remember him? They still talk about McCarthyism, associated calling someone just because he associates with other people. Well, Joe McCarthy and Bobby Kennedy was Joe McCarthy's lawyer and advisor, so he was in on the ground floor. And Joe McCarthy said that he had proof that there were at least 129 internationalist communists in the executive branch of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And still there into the Harry Truman carried over on the whole thing. Well, they ruined him and really ruined his health completely and destroyed him. But in 1991, I think it was, when the wall came down over in Europe and we got records in Poland, we found that there were over 300 in Franklin Delano Roosevelt's executive branch. And they were carried over into Harry Truman's administration, and that's the reason we were not allowed to win in Korea. You know, that war in Korea never ended. An armistice is defined as a temporary cessation of hostilities by mutual agreement. World War I didn't end. It ended in an armistice. It was a temporary cessation. Number two was just a continuation of the same war. Remember Eisenhower, who was also a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, still warned us against the military-industrial complex, to get it correct. And the United Nations in 1945 was founded, and the board that founded it, the head of the whole thing, and by the way, they all, not only the United Nations Charter was written by them, they also founded the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. And that membership, the membership of the committee, was headed up by Alger Hiss, Assistant Secretary of State for Foreign Affairs, a communist. He was sent to prison for denying being communism, lying about it, and I've forgotten the name of the other one who was a communist and said that Alger Hiss was associated with him and the whole thing. And so there were 14 communists and 23 members of the Council of Foreign Relations that drafted the United Nations documents and also founded the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. And you and I pay 40% of all the money that goes into the World Bank and the IMF to finance the demise of our own country. And of course, the group of, it used to be the G8 group, the group of eight, now it's the group of 20. So they're meeting occasionally, and we're going to end up with a currency that will be satisfactory to those 20 nations. And that it'll still be like the Federal Reserve note, won't be worth a hoot, won't be backed up by anything, but we'll still call it money. And the bankers will draw interest on it, just as they do right now. By the way, all of these people in here, I thought it was really great to show you how things really don't change. Cicero, the great philosopher, who lived about 50 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born, he says, "Traitors among us are more to be feared than the armies of our enemies, because they look like us, they talk like us, but they're not of us," he said. Well, they're certainly here now. They're certainly here now. We're beginning to... I think all of this is fitting into Bible prophecy, because once you turn your back on God and all that, then things are just not going to work out too well. In fact, for 2 years and 2 months in the Akron, Canton, Northeast Ohio, I had a radio program. I didn't have it. The station sponsored it. And the name of the program was "Truth Is Not Politically Correct." And if you tell the truth, it's not going to be politically correct. We're beat under the table from expressing ourselves because we want to be politically correct. Well, you can't be. And I did that for 2 years and 2 months, 5 days a week, and I had to give it up because forever, and I was straight talk, there were no commercials, it was sponsored by the station. 57 minutes of continuous talk. And I found a lot of things. I found the legacy of Clinton is about 60 or 70 people being killed because they crossed him. And I found out a few other things. His legacy is death, and he's still into it. Well, they want to equitably distribute the wealth, spread the wealth around, or, as we've already said, very, very, very communist. It's the whole objective. In fact, Leon Skousen, who was in the CIA, wrote an excellent book, The Naked Communist, and then the one that really got me started on this was he wrote another book, The Naked Capitalist. And I was going home from the Pentagon it was 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. We'd been going through a real crisis in 1966 because we could see what was shaping up over the Middle East. And I was going home very tired. We always referred to the Pentagon as Fort Fumble or Disneyland on the Potomac. Well, you had to laugh about it or you'd cry. And Melvin Munn came on, and he was a spokesman for Hunt, H.L. Hunt, I think, and a multimillionaire type, but very patriotic. And he finished up on the program, it's the Voice of Freedom, and he says, "Now, if you want to know what's really going on, send us $2. Now, it was a 300-page book. Now, isn't that something? Back in 1966, you could buy a 200-page book for $2. And we laugh now, but you won't be laughing 2 years from now when you'll have to pay $40 or $50 for what you pay $20 now, because there's never been such a flood of worthless money into the system as happened under Obama. And so I ordered the book, and on the cover it says, "This is a condensation version of Dr. Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, with editorial comment." Well, boy, it was quite an opener. And if we talk Sunday, we'll talk about Mr. 666. And it's Henry Kissinger, and his name adds up about five or six ways to 666. Now, he's not the Antichrist. There isn't anybody that's the Antichrist. We'll get into that tomorrow. Because it's a spirit, and it's very clear it's a spirit. It's only mentioned in the first and second epistles of John, and if you want to identify it, it's the spirit that will deny that Christ has come in the flesh. And if you look up the context of the words, that Christ has and is come in this flesh. And the people that deny that are, well, you know who they are. Controlled disintegration, sustainable development. And you can plan. Yeah, I didn't know whether I'd talked about, I think we better bring up the Reese Commission in 1954 so that you can be a real prophet just paying attention to what the Reese Committee found. You can prophesy what's going to happen in the United States and the world, because the Reese Commission, that was back in the good old days when we had an Un-American Activities Committee. But that had to go because that's not politically correct, you know, to call people communists. And by the way, the communists have 34 objectives before they can take over, and we're just about to complete all 34 objectives that are spelled out by their founders. But Reese was after the tax-exempt foundations. Billions upon billions of dollars are hiding in the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation. There's about three or four more of them in there. And those are the guys, those billions of dollars that are tax exempt. And they financed all of these Vietnam protesters. Those kids, there's thousands of them going around over the country. They didn't have any money. These foundations were funding it. And they funded all of the greenies going around, keeping you from using your own land and all of that sort of thing. That's what the foundations were doing. And Mr. Reese, or Congressman Reese, was getting pretty ticked off when he was finding all of this stuff. And he confronted the Ford Foundation president with it. And the Ford president got angry and he blurted back to him, he says, "Our purpose is to so alter life in the United States that we can comfortably merge with the Soviet Union and other third world countries." Well, now all of our, as you can sum it up, we export jobs and import workers.
Amen.
They're not going to close the border.
No way.
Nope. They want it open. We'll get to that in a moment too and show you. And they're not going to solve the energy problem. They're going to go to windmills and all those stuff that Europe proved aren't workable a long time ago. And then there's so many sources for workable energy that we don't have to worry about it. Back in the early days in the Pentagon and others, we were looking into all this. But we're not allowed to develop nuclear energy. At one time, the policy was to have somewhere around 500 or 600 nuclear plants in the United States. And then all of a sudden, they realized that we would become independent and could work and all that sort of thing. They said, "Oh, well, we got a big nuclear waste." Have you ever heard of that? Hogwash. Japan, Germany, and France. Germany and France, about 80% of their electricity, their power comes from nuclear power. And Japan, not that much because they have quite a lot of hydro over there. But they have a technique, and they've been using it for years, that when your rods or pellets, whichever you're using in your reactor, gets down to around 95% and it's no longer efficient, they take them out and they have a process where they run them back up to 100% and there is no waste. You don't have to store it. If you want to make a lot of money, go buy all that waste and store it, because somebody will wake up one day and they'll be buying it. It'll be a real easy one to do. And, of course, the fuel cells. They're really trying to keep that technology down, where you convert air, the hydrogen, oxygen, into energy, and there's no side effects. And, of course, this cap and trade. I wish we had a few people in Congress, not that it would make any difference, that had actually taken the basic science courses. They talk about carbon dioxide forming a cloud, a greenhouse effect. Carbon dioxide is heavier than the atmosphere. It doesn't rise. If it did rise, all the plants would die, because the plants have to have carbon dioxide for their photosynthesis and for us to have food. But that doesn't make any difference. And the ice cap is going to melt and the water, the coast will rise 20 feet. Well, I challenge you, plain physics, physics 101. A floating body displaces its own weight in the fluid. So an immersed body displaces its own volume of the fluid. And if you want to think it's going to raise the ocean, take a glass of water, put a couple of ice cubes in it, fill it right up to the brim and see if it overflows when the ice melts. Well, of course it doesn't. Even boozers know that. And there's so many ways you could, but, and the idea that in the Kyoto thing of trying, and by the way, burning coal ain't all that bad either, because in the United States you have to go through millions of dollars, billions of dollars to burn coal. You got these scrubbers and all this sort of thing, and they don't put out any carbon. I almost, Ruth, my wife, I shout at the TV. I can't remain quiet when these idiot talking heads come on. They're not idiots. I'm just reading it off the bottom of the TV anyhow. But they come out and they talk about there's all the carbon dioxide in the air, and they'll show, now watch this, they show a nuclear plant with the big cooling tower, those great big things, and they say, look at all that smoke. That ain't smoke. It's steam. It's water. And it disappears. There's no pollution in it. And I sit there and you want to run up and punch somebody. But to the one that doesn't know, they think that's pollution. And you remember the spotted owl and all those silly things? Now listen to this. They always want the United States to quit burning coal and quit polluting and all that sort of thing. We have only 5% of the world's population. And if we quit doing all of that today, it wouldn't change a thing. Because China is building a coal-burning plant one a week. And they are consuming 50% of the coal that's burned. They're burning 50% of the world's coal. And they're not about to come into it. Do you get the point? They're going to develop and they're going to destroy us. So alter life in the United States that we can comfortably merge with the Soviet Union. All of these things don't apply anyone to, doesn't apply to any nation except the United States. All the rest of them can go their way, and if they need any help, we'll give them support. I would vote for Ron Paul if he only had one point, and that is, quit foreign aid. No foreign aid. Bring our troops home. Don't get involved. President George Washington pointed out, do not become involved in foreign affairs. We shouldn't even be in the Middle East. The Sunnis and Shiites were fighting each other. Remember Iraq and Iran? They each killed millions of their people fighting over there. If we wanted to get rid of them, get out of there, let them get back to fighting and provide weapons to both sides. As Ron Paul says, they're over here because we're over there. And that's about right. Oh, it was hilarious that when they had that about nine guys looking for to become Republican candidates for president, and they always put Ron Paul way down at the, depending on which way you looked at it, on the right, and he is far right. The rest of them are pretty far left, with Giuliani up on the left end. And somebody wanted to embarrass him, you know, they were putting it up on the screen and they could call in. And one says, I'm directing this at Congressman Ron Paul. He says, are you one of these people that is a conspiracy nut? You believe in a worldwide conspiracy? There's a secret worldwide conspiracy. That was it, big secret. And Ron Paul said, oh, no, it's not secret. Everybody knows that the Council of Foreign Relations, a trilateral commissioner, the Bilderbergers rule the world. And all those other kinds look like him, you know, like, who's that idiot? And good Giuliani had to be honest. He said, never heard of such a thing. Sometimes the fools overplay their hands and it backfires on them. By the way, Ron Paul's son looks like he's going to be elected to the Senate. So that'd be that's a good deal. And I must have reversed some of my slides here. But what's going on here in the United States is pretty interesting. We'll get this one before we forget it. So we can comfortably merge with the Soviet Union. This is what that would look like. Is it upside down or backwards? Yes. So that we could comfortably merge with the Soviet Union. Now then, they have divided the world into 10 regions. Looks like that. And in the United Nations, I'm pretty sure there are offices that are working on these 10 regions. And you can see the United States and Canada, they treat us as one nation. And Russia is together, and then the others are all interrelated, and they're pretty well controlled. And the interesting thing is, too, and some of you, this may be a shock to you, but I will prophesy right now that the United States, Canada, and Mexico will become one nation. That's the reason they're not about to close that border. That's called the North American Union. And I have a friend, thank God, he's just as radical as I am, only he can operate a computer. And he went through the, what was it, the comprehensive immigration and naturalization law that was 2,000 pages. There's nothing wrong with the law that we have now. All you need to do is enforce it. The United States last year brought in 2 million immigrants legally. We took in more people than all the rest of the world combined. They don't take any in. As the joke used to go, and it still does, we ought to implement the same immigration laws that Mexico does. Mexico, they have the border with Guatemala landmined and troops all over the place. Now, in that great big immigration thing, page 108 and page 109, and I have them. If it had passed, just those two pages, and if Senate had approved it with a two-thirds majority, the United States, Mexico, and Canada would have become the North American Union. It was buried in those two pages. And that's, man, in the military and in the industry and all of that sort of thing, if you have a manual or a operating procedure, aircraft flight manuals and all of those, if there's something wrong with it, you don't throw the whole thing out and reinvent the wheel. You delete the part that's wrong and correct it. But they don't want to do that. They want to throw the whole thing out so they can put all of this other stuff in there, like Pelosi, or I think it was Pelosi, or it might have been one of the other nuts, said, when they asked what's in there, says, well, we won't know till after we pass it. Boy. Boy. Ron Paul's son says that he would introduce a law, try to, that for every 20 pages in a new bill, there would have to be one day for every 20 pages, and before a legislator could vote, he'd have to sign that he had read it. If he wouldn't sign he'd read it, he couldn't vote. Well, that would be great. Now, here's the next step. Here's the road system that's already started. It's being worked on right now. If you people from Texas come up Interstate 35, it's going to become a corridor. It's going to come right up all the way down here. All of these ports, China will bring all their stuff in, haul it up the road up here to Walmart. No, excuse me. Come right up Interstate 35 to Kansas City, see that Mexican flag. That center, nothing will be inspected as it comes across. It just comes in and right on up, weapons, dope, or whatever. And there will be a large plot of land there that will become like an embassy. Do you know that in an embassy, the ground that the embassy is on is a part of the nation that embassy belongs to? Now, if Ronald Reagan had been president, or if, quite a few of the presidents probably would have been gotten it. But anyway, when Iran took our embassy and impounded or imprisoned the people that are there, that's an attack on land of the United States. That's a part of the United States. And you would have just been justified to just take the Marines and go in there. Did you know the Marines are the only that were created purposely, and it's respected throughout the world, that the Marines can go anywhere without a declaration of war? It's the only one. And so you would have sent in the Marines and clobber the whole damn bunch and take it out. And that would solve that problem, and it would also get a little respect in the world. So we would cut off all foreign aid, bring our troops home. We have troops in 103 nations. We can't guard our border, but we got 30,000 Americans. We got a 30,000 troops in Korea guarding their border. Makes you want to eat nails. Then all, but that will be the first one that will go in. And some of you will see them. And that will be quite a public work program. But most of the labor will be done by foreign labor. It won't be done by Americans. You can bet on that. Because there was a bridge built in Texas started a couple of months ago, and they brought, and it was a closed bid type thing, and an Italian company got the bid. That goes on all the time. Just remember the fact that our purpose is to destroy the United States. I have a friend in Ohio that we were political. Well, we were working together. He was a rather wealthy individual, owns a great big fancy tile company. And there's a lot of brick companies in Ohio, but he owns a fancy tile outfit. And the United States needed a lot of tile, but they didn't even offer bids on the United States. They bought all the tile from Italy. He said he was sitting across the table when Newt Gingrich was the Speaker of the House in Washington, because being a lot of money and a Republican, they invited him in. And he's sitting there, and he told Newt Gingrich, he says, you know, I'm in the tile business, and I just can't compete with this Mexican tile business. And he said Newt was eating, and Newt says, well, why don't you move your plant to Mexico? And he said, I almost grabbed him by the throat, but I said, why in the hell don't you go to Mexico and run for Congress? And he says, that got his attention. But it didn't get him any more tile business. So we'll go right along on some of these things. The United States is a very interesting arrangement. Can unsort this stuff here. Now, to our control, they've divided the United States. They don't like to deal with 50 states, so they divided us up into 10 regions. This is strictly unconstitutional. You can't do that, but that hasn't stopped them from doing anything that they have been doing. The Constitution's dead as far as they're concerned. And you can see, and there's one that breaks them out apart, makes it a lot easier. But the big thing is that these districts, if they want money, the money comes from Washington. Well, it comes from you back to Washington, and then Washington comes back. And it's distributed from their regional offices in here, that type of thing. So it's a control mechanism without getting all the states involved, because some of the states might balk if it was on those areas. There's a better one here, if I can find it quickly. Yeah. It'll give you the details of the whole bit. And that's sort of the way it breaks out, so that you can see the whole operation. And what is the solution to this whole thing? Well, one is to get back to the Constitution. We're out of it now. This was my doing, and Senator Byrd wrote me a real nice letter when I sent it to him, because he's a patriot. This was the old one. The new one that I recommend. And Ron Paul said, this was cute of him. He wrote a hand note back and said, thank you, Colonel. Said, I don't think these people would pass it if we put it up to a vote, even though they took the oath they would uphold and support and defend the Constitution. They wouldn't want to add the Constitution back into the Pledge of Allegiance because the children might pick it up, you know. So we don't want that. The federal educational system doesn't want that. So he said, maybe the next time they put out a big federal budget, I'll slip it in there, just a one-liner. So it would read, I pledge allegiance to the Constitution of the United States of America and to the flag of the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That one word makes it altogether different. And I want to tell you, this was quite a shock to me. Quite a few years ago, I was, I'm quite a pack rat in filing and keeping things that never used, but anyhow, an infomaniac, and I ran into my original commissioning oath, and I was surprised. Did you know I didn't, if you're a federally commissioned officer, my oath was this: I solemnly swear to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Did you see? I didn't pledge allegiance to obey the orders of the President of the United States. The enlisted personnel take that one, that they will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers pointed over me. I, as a federal officer, I had no allegiance to the President. My allegiance is to the Constitution. And there was a group of, there have been some pretty grievous things under Clinton and the other. There were almost 100, I think there were 97 officers, colonels and generals, who, because Clinton actually bragged about destroying the armed forces clandestinely, but people didn't know what he was saying. He bragged about, he balanced the budget. Yeah, he balanced the budget by taking away the cost of living allowances and a whole bunch of other things that hurt everybody that was retired and all of that. And he said, I've reduced the federal payroll by nearly 1 million. Yeah, all the armed forces. He cut them just about in half. That's the federal payroll. Of course, most of the people in Arkansas he brought to Washington with him, they increased the bill quite a bit. They even fired the travel agency in there. But anyway, and we've never really ever recovered from that. We never will, because we're having to use up National Guard and reserves and all of those, and some of them making 3 and 4 tours over there and over that.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.